Gracious Heavenly Father, it is so good to know that we need no other argument. We need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. Father, thank you that it is enough that Christ died and that it is not my works that will keep me saved, get me saved. It is not anything in me that has me to be right with you. It is that Christ died that I might live. Father, may your people today, as we hear your word and we are changed by your word, we are challenged by your word, may we remember, if we are yours, that we need no other plea but Christ. May we remember that. Father, if we are not yours, anyone in here who is not yours, may they understand they have no plea when they stand before you. And they are under the wrath that Christ took on is theirs for all eternity. They too, Father, can plead Christ. Help us all to see Christ this morning. Amen. It is so good to be here with you all today. Amen. Every time I go away, and many of you probably get, you've been here for 9 years or whatever, or you're probably tired of hearing it, because every time I go away, I come back and I say similar things. But I cannot tell you how thankful to God I am for this local assembly. I was just sitting in men's Bible study yesterday and looking at all the men and the boys that were gathered there to consider good works. When I go away, I'm especially when I go to my brothers, I'm often reminded of my sinfulness. My imperfections. And we here at Grace Fellowship Church, we have plenty of imperfections. We are far from perfect. Starting with me, I have plenty of sinful thinking and actions and flaws. The other two elders are far from where God would have them to be. In their understanding of the word, and their understanding of how to oversee God's people, we are a congregation that exhibits much immaturity. Often, we are often have been and are overzealous without knowledge. However, I'm watching by God's grace us growing and maturing. All of us. And yet, when I go away, and I have time to be away, and I go to a local assembly that I think is a fine local assembly, I appreciate my time at Redeemer Baptist, the church that Steve's part of, and I appreciate my time with Pastor Nick, and I enjoy it. But as I every time I go away and I come back, it is in spite of all of our immaturity, in spite of our sin, in spite of our failures and our falling short. I know that I'm in a place where God's children are growing and where God's elect are living out their faith and doing it together. And it is overwhelming for me to be part of imperfect sinners saved by the grace of God, strive to live out a life that would be glorifying to God. And I'm just thankful to be here. To God be the glory. The great things He has done. As I was driving to Georgia, I have lots of time to drive and pray and praying for this local assembly and for each of you, and then generally, it just became obvious to me that something that we needed to be encouraged in was thankfulness. And so I texted the elders and sought their permission to not preach from the book of Hebrews this week. And I suppose my mind was on Thanksgiving because I was going down there and it was Thanksgiving. And so, like all of your minds probably, we think about Thanksgiving. And so I sought their permission to preach get out of Hebrews for this week and preach a different message about Christian thankfulness. And so that's what we are going to do this morning. We're not going to read any. It's a number of scriptures we're going to look at, so we're not going to stand and read anything this morning together because we're not going to be looking at any particular passage. But we've been discussing for a while, and I'm watching it change already, but been discussing for a while an air of discontentment or something that's different about this congregation than has been before, and really never experienced it. And there seems to be more discontent than there ever has been in some ways. And I'm convinced that the root of that is a lack of thankfulness. And maybe that'll make sense and maybe it won't. But something I want us to think about this morning as we look at these things is that thanksgiving and discontent are antithetical. Thanksgiving and discontent are antithetical. They're opposites. They don't go together. Thanksgiving and complaining, they're antithetical. Thanksgiving is the opposite of complaining. Now, do a search and do antonyms. You probably won't find that. But I just want you to think about the fact that thanksgiving and complaining or discontent, they're on opposite ends of a spectrum. They're different. They're antithetical. We just experienced this Thanksgiving holiday. And what I want us to be thinking about is, what is Christian thankfulness? What is thankfulness? What does it look like? What is it? And a good starting point, I think a good starting point to discuss this topic is to consider, what is it that you and I deserve? What do we deserve? What does man deserve? I would answer, my answer would be nothing above ground. What we deserve is physical death and to be buried in the ground and returned to dust. And what we deserve is eternal separation from a good God. That's what we deserve. So anything above that is gravy, is a blessing, is a gift. Because what we deserve, and if we don't start with an understanding that what we deserve is to be 6 feet under, and what we deserve is to be separated from the goodness of God, if we don't start there, then I would argue we cannot know how to be thankful. The human condition is that we believe we're owed something. The human condition is that we believe that we are owed food and clothing and sunshine and family and friends. That is the human condition. We are so self-centered that we think we're owed those things. And because we think we're owed those things, we have a really hard time being thankful. I'm hopeful as we think about these things this morning that we can remember as a backdrop, God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing except for physical death and none of His goodness for eternity. That's what we're owed. As we look at many verses today about thankfulness, we're going to look at four main topics: true thankfulness and how that will lead to worship of God, considering who to whom we are to be thankful. We're going to consider the thanklessness of unbelievers, and then the thankfulness in the life of God's children. As we do this today, I know that you have the passages in your bulletin, and that's great. I would encourage you to turn to these passages. We're going to spend a little more time than we normally do. If I get ahead of you, then you can't, but turn to the passages that we're going to spend time in. We are all probably familiar with the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And there's lots of things to look at inside of that, but this morning I just want to look at a couple of things in particular. So everyone turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him ten men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So let's start out with, these are lepers. What are lepers? Well, lepers are those who had a disease of the skin that would actually lead to the falling off of skin and sores and actually parts of hands and noses. And you actually lose parts of your body as a leper. And so lepers were physically impaired greatly. And part of being a leper back then was you were kept away from everyone else. This morning, we have many people missing today because they're sick or their children are sick. And part of the reason they stay home is they don't want to bring their sick children and infect you all. So these lepers were kept away from everyone else because if you caught leprosy, again, it's a brutal disease. It doesn't exist much these days. So they stood afar off because they couldn't come near anyone else. And so they shouted for mercy from Jesus. They shouted for mercy, saying, "Give us aid. Help us in our affliction. We are lepers. We are completely, we're kept away from all of our family and friends. We have this painful disease where we're actually losing parts of our body. Help us." So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Why would they go show themselves to the priests? Because they were ostracized. And if they could go show the priests they no longer had leprosy, they could be brought back into the synagogue. They could be brought back into the synagogue, which, remember, was where they did all their communal living throughout the week and on their Sabbath. So go see the priests, show them you have leprosy, and then you could get back in, you get back to life as you know it. And so it was as they went. So he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So they turned to go, and as they're going, they were cleansed. Now try to imagine that. Try to imagine a life of being ostracized from a group, completely outside of. A life of physical ailment, and not only the physical ailment you were experiencing, you also were kept away from everyone else. And all of a sudden you're healed. Much to be thankful for inside of that, wouldn't there be? Take your biggest ailment and pretend like it went away. Whatever your biggest ailment is. That doesn't even ostracize you from anyone. But this is big time life change for them, right? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Eucharistia. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? When this person was healed, what did he do? He did not take that mercy that he had been granted from Christ, from God through Christ. He did not take that for granted. He went back and he glorified. He praised God's name. And he fell, proskuneo, he fell at the feet of Christ and he thanked him. He thanked him. He did not take for granted what God had just done for him. I'm not going to preach a whole sermon from this, but I heard a sermon one time, I think it was from Joel Beakey. Where are the 9? In here are some of the 9. How did this thankfulness, what did it lead to in this leper that was healed? It led to 2 things. It led to glorifying God with his voice. And it led to him giving thanks. And then he says, "Go, your faith has made you well," right? This man understood who and what had happened to him. And he praised God's name and he thanked Jesus for his mercy. Takes me to the next point. To whom are we thankful? We see that one was thankful to Jesus for God's mercy in his life. here's what it seems to me. It seems to me that we are quick to thank a doctor for taking care of us. It seems to me that we are quick to thank an electrician for fixing our heating or air conditioning unit. It seems to me that we are quick to be thankful to our employers for our jobs. It seems to me that some wives are quick to thank their husbands for the provision that they bring into the home. It seems to me that there's many husbands that thank their wives for the meal that they gave them. But to whom are we to be thankful? 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Riches, honor, strength, greatness for all come from God. And then down verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. God is due our thanks and our praise. King David had finally gotten the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David or Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 16:7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Give thanks to the Levitical priests who carried this. Give thanks to me because I, David, planned out how to get it here. No, give thanks to God. Later in that psalm, verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. His mercy, he is good. Give thanks to God. Verse 35, and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. God's people saying, bring us together to give thanks to you, to praise your holy name. Psalm 100, which is called a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. And bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Every single thing that we have, beloved, above ground, everything that we have has been given us by God, whether it's our food, our clothing, our income, our houses, our families, our friends, our health, it all comes from God. Every single bit of it. And we are to thank him and sing his praises. Be thankful to him. It is God who has had mercy on us and given us all these things above ground level. Whoever you are in here, he has especially been good to his people. His mercies endure forever for those of us. But everybody in here, whatever you have above 6 feet under has been given you by God. Psalm 116 in verse 12, the psalmist says, basically asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefit he's given me? And in verse 17, he says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What are we to give God for all he's given us? And the psalmist talks about obedience, and then he talks about we are to give him thanksgiving for all that he's rendered us. What shall we give God for all that he has done for us, beloved? Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, I am hopeful that you won't walk away from here saying, well, Pastor just told us we're sinning if we ever thank people. That never came out of my mouth. nor do I believe that to be true. However, I would have you to consider if you're more thankful to the doctor or you are to God. Really. Who are you quick to tell thank you to? You know, Mama, I was thinking about your desire to write these doctors, and it's a fine thing to write them and tell them thank you for the care of Dad. But we ought to be a lot more quick to be thanking God than we do the doctor or the electrician or the waitress or the wife or the husband. We are to be thankful to God. It is God who gives us all things. Our thankfulness ought not start with or stop with man. Unless that's all you got. We saw these 10 lepers, only one was truly thankful to God. Only one came back and praised Him and thanked Him for His mercy, the mercies of God that came through Christ. Next, let's consider the thanklessness of unbelievers. So, last Thursday was Thanksgiving. I cannot prove these statistics. I went online and did the best I could to try to find out what they were. It appears that over 90% of people in America celebrate Thanksgiving. Have you ever considered how ridiculous that is? That is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Who are they thanking? I was made aware of a prayer that Bart Simpson said on a Simpsons. I don't watch the show, but one of my nephews or my sons, one of them told me there was a prayer that Bart Simpson, so I went and looked it up on YouTube. Here was Bart Simpson's prayer. Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. That's the thanklessness of an unbeliever. We paid for it all ourselves, so thanks for nothing. I really don't have a problem with people blessing the hands that prepared this meal or thanking the people that prepared the meal. But that meal is only there because of God and His goodness and His mercy. That person who prepared it's only there because God placed them there. Who other than themselves can an unbeliever thank? If you don't know God, listen, for you in here today, as you're hearing my voice, if you don't know God through Jesus Christ, then your thanksgiving is idolatry. Listen to what I'm telling you. If you do not know God through Jesus Christ, then your thanksgiving is idolatry. Because you're thanking a God that you don't know. You really have no thankfulness. You have no one to thank. Remember I said complaining is the antithesis of thankfulness. And one of the things about unbelievers is they're full of complaints. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Do you know what they just came out of?
Do you remember the plagues? Do you remember coming across the Red Sea? Do you remember God's hand and all that of delivering those people? And they're then going to complain because they're hungry. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. And when you complain, your complaints are against God. That's why we expect unbelievers to complain. Why wouldn't they? Of course they would complain. That's what unbelievers do. They complain because they have unmet expectations or they're hungry. But we don't expect believers to live a life full of complaint. Not God's elect. We are not characterized by complaining because that's what unbelievers do. We are characterized by thanksgiving. Being thankful for what God's delivered us out of. What he's delivered us to. Not concerning ourselves with what's happening right now. Romans 1. Verse 21, because although they, unrighteous people, suppressing the truth of the God they know exists in their sin, because they, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. Their thanks went to men. They didn't thank God. That's the unrighteous, but not the righteous. We expect unbelievers to live that way. How else can they live? Unbelievers are thankless because their thanks are not given to God. They do not glorify God, rather they glorify man, but not us. Not us. We do glorify him as God. We, like that one of the ten, we do thank God for his mercies through Christ. We do live lives of thankfulness. We are not thankless like those who have no hope. On Thanksgiving Day down in at Steve's, they had little, table tags with a verse on the front, and then on the back we were to write what we were thankful for. And then after dinner we all sat in the front room and grabbed out one of those and you were to read what it said, what they were thankful for, and try to guess who wrote it. And one of the unbelievers that was there wrote, I'm thankful for oxygen, family, and food. To whom were they thankful? This person is not a confessed unbeliever. Who are you thanking for oxygen, family, and food? That's thanklessness. It's idolatry. If you're thanking me, I didn't give you the oxygen. If you're thanking your aunt for the food, that's idolatry. If your gift of family comes from random chance of molecules bumping into each other, then you have no thankfulness. We, on the other hand, brethren, we give thanks to God. We also don't live lives of complaining. We live lives filled with thankfulness. We don't live lives filled with discontent. We live lives full of thankfulness. Thankfulness in the life of God's children. And I am hopeful that we are and will continue to be this morning encouraged, that we will continue to believe God's word and interact with it appropriately, that we will interact with the word of God in humility, with humility and in obedience. I remember when we were still celebrating Christmas in our household. This goes on for years and years and years, but I just remember one of the things that, even as a pagan, one of the things that always bothered me was there'd be a stack of presents in front of a kid, and they'd rifle open a present. They would literally rifle it open, get it open, set it aside, and go on to the next present. They'd rifle that, throw it aside, and go on to the next present. Rifle that aside, go on to the next present. Couldn't open them fast enough. Not being thankful for each gift that was given them. You know, y'all probably have seen them. You've had them. They've been you and they've been your kids. But ungrateful children are extremely annoying. Aren't they? I mean, they take everything for granted. They aren't thankful for the things that you give them. They just expect them. That's not how we go through life, is it? We would never dare go through life getting a gift from God and rifling it aside looking for the next one. We would take time and we would thank him for everything, wouldn't we? We would never complain against God. We would never be discontent. We would be thankful to God for the gifts he's given us, for the care our Father gives us. We wouldn't be like these little bratty kids, would we? Do we just rifle through the gift? Do you realize the gifts that God has given us just today? Have you taken any time to thank him for them and to dwell on them, to enjoy the gift of breath? I'll even go so far as to say to enjoy the gift of coffee. Or do you rifle through your cup of coffee to get to your donut? We are children of God who blesses us with gifts too many to measure. And I would encourage us all to not rifle through them like a kid at Christmas. Enjoy each gift. Thank God for each gift. Thankfulness that takes you to your face like the leper, proskuneu, glorifying his name and thanking him. I am not being facetious. I am not being quaint. I am not being silly. Thank him for the breath that you breathe. No, really? Well, you're just like your kid who takes for granted everything you provide them, which, by the way, you provide them nothing. It's all from God. You ought to teach them to be thankful to God, not to you. Look, I'm fine. I have Sophia thank people. Do what you want with it. But Sophia ought to know that her thanks should go to God. And that until she knows God through Jesus Christ, her thanksgiving is idolatry and meaningless. Brothers and sisters, I watch parents train their children to say thank you to people. Regularly. To our shame, I don't watch them to say thank you to God nearly as often. As we go through these next verses, I'm hopeful you will turn to them in your Bibles and actually look at them in the Word of God that you have with you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 is where we'll be. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. What does that mean? That if I'm in the Lord, then I have cause and reason to rejoice always, no matter what comes my way. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Are your prayers saturated with thanksgiving? Eucharistia. Are our prayers saturated with thanksgiving? How quick do we get to the supplications? How quick do we get to what we're anxious about? None of it being covered with thanksgiving. I'm not saying we ought not make supplication. We should. We're told to. Don't be anxious. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. Are we thankful as we bring our requests, or are we anxious? And are the two compatible? Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. As you, who's the you? Saints. As you, saints, therefore, have received Christos, the Messiah. As you, therefore, have received the Messiah, Jesus, Jehovah saves. As you have received the Messiah, the Anointed One, as you have received the Messiah, Jehovah saves, Lord, Kurios, Master, Owner. As you have received, here, saints, because you have received the Messiah, the salvation of God, your Master, Owner, because you have received Him and who He is, so walk in Him. So walk in Him. Because you have received Him, walk in Him. Well, how do we do that? How do we walk in Him? Here it is. Rooted and built up in Him. And established, grounded in the faith. Grounded in your belief of Jesus Christ, Lord. As you have been taught. Here's how we are to walk in the Lord whom we've received. We are to walk in Him, established in our belief in Jesus Christ, Lord. All that that means, abounding. The word is parousio. It means overflowing exceedingly with thanksgiving. Eucharistia. Are you overflowing with thanksgiving to God? Is that what people see in you? Is that what your family and your home sees in you? Does this characterize your life? Beloved, since you have received Jesus, Lord, Christ Jesus our Lord. Since you have received Christ Jesus our Lord, be rooted in your belief in Him, overflow with thanksgiving. Eucharistia, Thanksgiving.
We're not going to spend any time on it. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight maybe, but Eucharistia is where we get the word Eucharist, and it's a word we don't use because we all think it's a swear word because it's something that happens in the Catholic Church that's wrongly done. Eucharistia is giving thanks. When we take the Lord's Supper tonight, we will be doing, we'll be practicing Eucharistia, thankfulness to God, remembering Christ who paid for our sins. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to your left. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Okay, that's you and me, beloved. We're the children of God. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So walk in love. Walk as Christ walked. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Look, we won't be covetous. We won't be unclean. We will not be sexually immoral. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather what? So don't do all those things like you used to. Are you the funniest guy or gal in the room? Are you getting the most chuckles? Are you the one who walks on the edge of what's appropriate and inappropriate? That's who you used to be. But rather than do those things, give thanks. Rather giving of thanks. You know, it's funny because I watch people, you know, Elder Nick sometimes, he'll stand up here and sing, and when he's singing, he's smiling, and he looks kind of goofy. And he's giving thanks. He's being joyful. He's praising God. He's not goofy. And you know, when you're in a room, and you're one not telling the jokes, and you're the one trying to bring the conversation back to the things of God, thankfulness to God, the world won't like you. I used to be really funny. Ask my mom. And to my mom's wrong thinking, she sometimes is sad that I'm not that funny guy anymore. I want to be the guy giving thanks to God. Is that how you're known? Are you the person in the room that is goofy because you keep giving thanks to God? You keep bringing the conversation back to the things of God. Nah, I don't do that anymore because they won't want me around. Turn back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We could go back farther. This is where the Apostle Paul is giving orthopraxy out of the orthodoxy to the church at Colossae. But here's what he then says as he's wrapping that up in verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus our Lord. Everything we do and say should be done with thanksgiving to God. Does this describe the general reality of your life? Is this the reality of your life in general speaking? Is this what people see in you, or is this what God sees in you? Is this what you see in you? Do people hear you, see you living with thankfulness to God? Some of you might be thinking, everyone is unthankful to some extent. Maybe I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. But who is? It's a bigger deal than that, beloved. I'm telling you, this is a big deal for this local assembly to understand our lack of thankfulness, that we may grow in the grace of God and be thankful and content and not complaining. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Back to Ephesians. Again, Paul giving instruction on orthopraxy. Starting in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We, brothers and sisters, are to be redeeming the time that we have, living wisely. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise. Okay, what's the opposite of unwise? Understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, so foolishness is not understanding the will of God. Wisdom is understanding the will of God. And what is the will of God for us then? Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine. Well, check. No, I don't know anybody here who has a habit of being drunk, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look, this is how we are. This is wise. This is what is wisdom. This is wisdom as compared to foolishness. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God. What is the will of God? That we give thanks always for all things to God. That is the will of God for your life and my life, that we give thanks to God for all things. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll start in verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For that is really a good idea. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will of God is that we give thanks in everything. That's the will of God. Give thanks in everything. Because what is unthankfulness? Unthankfulness is this. I don't want what God wants. We saw today in the psalm, he does as he pleases. What is not under the providential plan? What is not under the decree of God? The answer, nothing. Everything. God is sovereign over all things. So when we are unthankful, we are saying, I do not want what God wants. Or, I don't want it in the way he's giving it to me. That's what we're saying. When we're not thankful for our spouse, we are saying, I do not want the spouse that God wants for me. I disagree with God. I do not want the job that I have. I don't like my children. I'm not really happy at my local assembly. I really don't like the church much these days. Unthankfulness is saying, I do not want what God wants. Because look, every one of you is exactly where God would have you be today. Every one of you is a member in this local assembly with the wife or husband you have, with the children that are surrounding you, with the jobs that you have. That is what God has for you. And when you're not thankful, you're saying, I do not want what God wants. Pastor, are you saying I'm supposed to be thankful if I'm diagnosed with cancer? Supposed to be thankful if I have a husband who is harsh with me? You mean I'm supposed to be thankful if my wife is unloving and disrespectful? You mean I'm supposed to be thankful when I'm bouncing checks, I can't pay my bills? You mean I'm supposed to be thankful with all these immature believers around me? No, probably not. You probably shouldn't be thankful if you have nothing above that in which to be thankful for. See, you can't be thankful unless there is something greater than your circumstances to be thankful for. I cannot be thankful unless there is something greater than my circumstances that I can be thankful for. And see, our thankfulness to God in everything is because we believe God's promises. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, your cancer, your husband, your wife, your job, your church, your family, all of those things are working together for good if you are His. So you can be thankful. It is the will of God that you be thankful. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He called, whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. We believe the promises of God, therefore we can be thankful in all things. And it is the will of God that we are thankful in all things. This morning I had a number of texts come to me about families that weren't going to be here this morning because of illness. Those are the kind of things that can make me be unthankful. And all I'm saying is, God, I don't want what you want. I'm not okay with your providential plan that had this group be here today. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. How would you possibly be thankful in circumstances if you had nothing greater than these circumstances to be thankful for? You wouldn't. I wouldn't. But see, we're not pagans. We don't live as those who have no hope. We don't live as those who are not grounded in our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not those. We are those people that are grounded in that faith. We do trust God's promises. Therefore, we can be thankful in all things. And it's the will of God that we be thankful in all things. 2 Corinthians 2, wrong. We'll move on because I'm not sure where I wanted to be. Here's what I want us to consider. It is the will of God that we be thankful for everything to Him through Christ. And we will be thankful to Him through Christ because we believe His promises. And we know that these momentary light afflictions are building in us something much greater. And we know that. So we will not be complainers. We will not be discontent. We will be thankful. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. Pastor, all good, all well and good. I don't know how to be thankful. I can't be thankful. There is something that comes over me that just makes me complain and discontent. You are hearing the word of God today that is commanding you and telling you, by the grace of God, you stay rooted in Christ and you will be thankful in all things. And if you walk away from here, as if you've never heard that, as if you're powerless over those things, if that's true that you're powerless to have thanksgiving to God, then you need to examine yourself. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Yeah, I'm not very thankful, but whew, got through that. Let me keep going with my life. It is the will of God that we be thankful in all things. That's the will of God for our lives. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We will be characterized by thanksgiving. God has given us all we need to be thankful. What more do we need than a sure eternity? What more do we need than forgiveness of our sins? If you believe that your discontent and your complaining or your unthankfulness is no big deal, then you need to examine yourselves as to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. That Christ Jesus is in you, unless you are disqualified. What does it say in Matthew 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we go on the streets, and we talk about 1 Corinthians 6 with people. Drunkards, idolaters, adulterers, sexually immoral, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? And we don't give people passes on that list. If that's the life they are characterized by, then they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And it is the will of the Father that we be what? Thankful in all things. Verse 23, then he says, depart from me, you who practice, you who work, you who are characterized by, you who live in a place of disobedience to commands. There is the possibility there's leaven in the lump of this local assembly. And that leaven is the unthankfulness that permeates as if it is okay. As if we're powerless to do something about that. That's not true, beloved. I'm playing golf down in Georgia. What, Jack? 4 double bogeys in a row. And I'm embarrassed. I'm tossing my club like a 4-year-old. Like that circumstance has me to be discontent? Has me to be complaining because I can't hit a 4-iron? Really? I am so thankful for God's grace in my life that quickly brings me around to a place where I can seek forgiveness and understand the ridiculousness of my sin, the sinfulness of my sin. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What is the opposite of complaining and disputing? Thankfulness. Do all things with thankfulness. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. This is the will of God for your life. I'm going to reread Ephesians 5:15. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Down to verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And He will not command you to do something. He will not will you to do something if He will not will that in you, if He will not give you the ability to do that. And every one of us has the Spirit of God living in us, and we have the ability to be thankful as we forget our circumstance and remember something far more glorious. How can you then not be thankful? Stop rifling through the Christmas presents, tossing one aside, quickly getting the next, looking for the better gift. Stop complaining and grumbling. Be thankful in all things. Stay rooted in the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay rooted in the belief in all that that brings. Be thankful in all things. That the world around you would, this perverse world, they'd see the light. They'd see your thankfulness, which will be unbelievable to them. The number of times I have shown my children a false gospel, it is very hard for me to consider. As I be unthankful in front of my children, as I complain, I expect them to complain. I expect them. One of my children, I said, quit thanking God. Because 5 minutes later, you're going to be telling me He doesn't exist. So don't say thanks. Who are you thanking? It's idolatry. Don't thank me, because if He thanks me, it's pure up, straight up, nothing but idolatry. We don't take lightly the violations of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Let's not take lightly the violation of thankfulness. Let's not take lightly the sin of complaining and discontent. Closing thought. Thankfulness to God is a characteristic of all of God's children. Beloved, thankfulness to God is a characteristic of all God's children. It is His will for our life that we be thankful for His love and care for us that shape the happenings and circumstances of our lives. It is His will that we be thankful for the shaping of the circumstances in our lives. You pick it. Your flat tire, your bad wife, your bad kids, your horrible job, your small checking account. It is God's will for our lives to be thankful, knowing that all those things are being shaped in my life, in your life, for our good, for our growth in our Christ-likeness. May we, by the grace of God, repent of our lack of thankfulness and do the will of our Father in heaven.
Look, I don't have a meat thermometer to stick in us all to see how thankful. I don't have a gauge. But if you're going to go and try to defend yourself because you're saying, you sit and you think, well, maybe I'm not thankful, but my gauge is, look, ask the people around you. Am I one who lives a life that's thankful to God in all circumstances? Not perfectly. Is that what you would characterize me by? Or am I one who grumbles and complains? May we, by the grace of God, repent of our lack of thankfulness and do the will of the Father in heaven. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I recognize those who don't know Christ cannot be thankful to God because they are not in Christ. Obviously, teach your children to be thankful. Be thankful to God. And if I'm our kids, I'm saying, really? You don't seem very thankful, Daddy, Mommy. Circumstances in your life seem to have you down, have you frustrated. Brother, sister, aunt, uncle. It is true. Our lives will be characterized by thankfulness. Repent of the unthankfulness, and by the grace of God, live lives full of thanksgiving. Not just on the fourth Thursday in November. Every single day of our lives. God, you have given us so much to be thankful for. Those of us who are in Christ, Father, thank you that your promises are true. Thank you that you are working in us a far greater glory than these minor things that we face today. Father, forgive us for our lack of thankfulness. Forgive us for our not wanting what you want at times. Father, by your grace, may we grow and be a people that are joyful and thankful in all circumstances because we have something greater than our current circumstance to be thankful for. And it's all found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.